It was a cool spring morning in northeastern Montana. My friend Dave Rabenberg was up on the family tractor getting ready to do some field work in the cab. I was walking around this monstrous machine with wheels taller than I am. And I stepped around to the front right tire, and I heard this tss, and I jumped back instinctively. And I shouted to my friend Dave up on the tractor, "Dave, there's a rattlesnake down here." He went to the back of the tractor and got the longest steel rod I've ever seen. Huge wrecking bar for getting rocks out of the implements. And he crawled out over the tractor and leaned over the hood. And he used that steel bar to coax the rattlesnake out from the curve of the tire where it had curled up to stay warm at night. And as soon as he got it out into the open a little bit, he took that steel rod and he smashed its head into the ground. And you can imagine how a rattlesnake would strike at something. If you're a rattlesnake and you see something coming at you, you try to bite it. Well, the first try was his last try, because he hit that steel rod as it knocked his head down into the ground, and Dave just kept coming down with it until that head was about 6 inches down into the dirt. And then he got off the tractor and got out his knife and cut the body off the snake and threw that out into the road. My first rattlesnake, dead. Imagine. When the Lord gave that first gospel promise in the garden, that must have been what the first parents of ours, Adam and Eve, felt like when they heard the Lord say to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel," smashing the head of that serpent. That first gospel promise was said to the devil, who got into that serpent and used it to tempt Adam and Eve to sin, to rebel against God. Promises, promises, promises. Well, the people of God were living on those promises, and they thought their first son would be the deliverer. But you know the name Cain. He turned out to be the first murderer. And those dear parents of ours, Adam and Eve, had to wait a long time for the Lord's promise to come true. Promises, promises, promises. And this was the toughest one ever. This was the hardest promise that would ever be made and the hardest promise ever to fulfill. Because to keep this promise that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head would require the death of God's own son. We don't make promises like that. That mean one of your children will have to die? You would never promise that. And that's what God promised to Adam and Eve. His son would die. The toughest promise that ever could be made. And his son had to die so that one innocent life of the God-man Jesus Christ could wash away the sins of all people for all time. That's what it took. The toughest promise ever. Now, people make a lot of promises. Promises, promises, promises. And some promises people hope you'll forget. Like when you buy something and you think you're going to get a rebate. All the adults know this. If you buy something on a rebate, they're hoping you're not going to remember or that they've made it tough enough to cash that in, right? It's too much trouble for a couple bucks to get the rebate back. The promises God makes, he keeps on reminding us about over and over again throughout the life of the Israelites. The promises that the children are saying today in this worship service are only a few of them. But what strikes me as amazing is that over all that Old Testament period, the Lord was making these promises again and again, repeating them so that no one could forget, even to people who didn't want to hear them. When we get to that Isaiah 7 promise, this was said to a wicked king Ahaz. Can you think of Ahaz listening to this prophet Isaiah telling him what he's supposed to do, and he's the king? It's like he's pouting when he says this. He wants to stomp his foot, right? Isaiah 7, where it says, "The Lord said to Ahaz again, 'Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. He didn't want to hear it. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Call him Emmanuel, God with us. And God kept repeating the promise over and over again, even to a wicked king like Ahaz who didn't want to hear it at all. The toughest promise, the most repeated, and the fully fulfilled. Almost. Almost. There's one more promise of this big promise that the Lord still needs to fulfill. The children in the last part this morning will tell you about the Lord's promise to come again, to take all believers home to Jesus in heaven. All who trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of their sins, eternal life, everlasting bliss, but those who decide no, who reject God and His Son, the Lord will say to those who will not say to God, Thy will be done, the Lord will say, Thy will be done. They want to be without God. They choose Satan instead of the Savior. Have your way. Spend eternity in hell in torment with the devil. The Lord will finally give their will to them if they refuse His saving will. And He surely proved His will by repeating that promise over and over again until His own Son shed His blood to wash away the sins of all. And He died for all. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's not a sin remaining except the sin of unbelief, and only unbelief can damn. I would ask everyone here to take this worship folder along and read it during these days of Christmas, after the children have had this wonderful opportunity to share with you a message which is so profound that the greatest intellects of humanity could never figure this out, never even imagine it, much less suggest it. And they won't, many of them, accept it today because they're too smart for God, they think. But the children see this Savior in deep humility, born of the Virgin Mary and laid in a manger. And even children can sing His praises and tell the wonderful message of a Savior born for us all. And use your logic this time. Think about this. If God would keep that promise to come in deep humility, to suffer and die for you and me, a whole world of sinners, if He would keep a promise like that at the cost of His own Son and let His Son volunteer to be our Savior, do you think He can't keep the promise to come again in glory? If He could die and rise again, raise Himself from the dead, and He's got power over death itself, is there anything that can stop Jesus from coming with all the angels on Judgment Day? He wants us all to be ready. His saving will is so beautiful and clear, laid as God in the manger. The story that the children want to tell us now, promises, 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 the toughest yet, the most often repeated, and fully fulfilled in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And let your life now and forever and the songs of the children be a beautiful, loud Amen.